You're listening to a Share Radio podcast.
Share Food with Jules Serkin. Eating and drinking our way around the food business.
And a warm good morning to you, Share Radio listeners. I hope you're snuggling up and ready for a great show we've got. We are talking... Generally, the Share Radio show, we're going to be talking about tastes and innovations around the world that will get your taste buds tickling. And we did, as you remember, a couple of weeks back, we did a lovely Argentinian show and we were tasting wine. Well, today we're being very good. We're cutting out sugar, dairy, soya and gluten. And we've got the best experts here. And we are actually periscoping. So do follow me, Jules Serkin, J-U-L-E-S-S-E-R-K-I-N. And you can see what's happening. You can see my terrible roots that I had to have done on the way back from America. Never trust a hairdresser in the Bronx. That's all I can say. So do you find that sometimes you're feeling a bit sluggish? I know that often I get a PM slump. So if you find, sometimes it can go on all day, actually, or for days, my slump. But I was looking at the idea of what you eat, and you are what you eat. So if you're suffering perhaps from bloating, or you find you're getting this sugar craving in the afternoon, perhaps when you work hard, you just need coffee after coffee after coffee. We're going to be talking about what you can do to try and help those cravings and the mid-afternoon slump. And we're going to be looking at free-from food. So I know that free-from has become very hip at the moment. Certainly where I was in New York, you can get sandwiches that are wrapped with a green vegetable rather than bread. And gluten-free is everywhere. But then once you go out of New York and you get to South Carolina and that, it's sugar, more sugar, cream, and basically every pie you can get your hands on. Vanilla cheesecake is my one weakness. But I'm going to introduce our guests and let you ask some questions. You can tweet questions at Jules Serkin, J-U-L-E-S-S-E-R-K-I-N, or at Share Radio UK. We want to hear all about your dietary woes. So if you think that you're eating healthily, but perhaps things aren't going so well, call in and talk to our experts. I guess I should tell you who they are. So with me in the studio, making a mad dash, but looking gorgeous, we have Deborah Thackeray. She has a degree. Morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
It is afternoon, actually. But for me, of course, jet lag. Did I mention Manhattan? Morning, Deborah.
Good afternoon, actually, Jules.
It is. Yeah, to me, I'm still on 5 hours back. So I'm still in my pyjamas. But you got here all right in the end.
I did get here.
And did you come from Harrogate?
I've come from Harrogate this morning, yes.
Okay, let me introduce you properly. So Deborah Thackeray, she has a degree in nutritional medicine. And she's also the MD of Gluten-Free Cookery School in Harrogate and London. And I have partaken on many an occasion of your lovely gluten-free, the pastries.
Oh, to die for.
So she's an expert in nutrition. So if you have some tweets for Deborah, just tweet me at Jules Serkin and the team will pick those up. And also at Share Radio UK. But also Deborah and Ian, her husband, long-suffering, does all the work. have made your own gluten-free flour, which we're going to be talking about later.
Yes, we are. And I've brought some bread that's been made with the flour for us to taste today.
Very exciting. Great. Looking forward to tucking into the bread. And so flanking Deborah, we have the amazing Adrian Ling, who's the MD of Plummel. And Plummel is the oldest vegan company in the UK. And regularly, where are my teeth, judged to be the highest ranking ethical chocolate company in the world and more. Good morning, Adrian.
Well, good afternoon. I got a little worried there when you said good morning.
I know.
I thought we'd lost a few hours.
I am still in bed in South Carolina waiting for my shrimp and grits.
It's wonderful to be here and surrounded by all this food.
I know.
I'm getting hungry already.
And what have you brought in?
Well, we have brought all types of chocolate. No added sugar chocolate being high up on the list and people's favourite, and everybody's talking about it.
Very exciting. There's a big thing going on about sugar, as we know, and even Jamie Oliver has got onto the bandwagon. Then next to Adrian, last but not least, my dear friend, Alistair Jessel. I have eaten many of your tubs, Alistair Jessel, so table ice cream, hello.
Hello.
And good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Definitely is afternoon.
Definitely is afternoon okay. To me, anyway.
So you've come in with what flavours? Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
I've come in with quite a number of flavours from... not all of them have had their sugar removed. I've got three with sugar, but completely allergen-free in every shape.
And when you
and
say
form.
Allergen-free, what do you
so
mean?
So they're dairy-free, gluten-free, soy-free, everything-free. There's no allergen in them at all.
But certainly not taste-free.
That's what today's all about, isn't it?
I'm very intrigued to hear about the peanut butter one, because that's one I've not had.
Right, so the peanut butter one will be in the Sweet Rebellion range, which is refined sugar-free as well. But, of course, it contains nuts, so I can't say it's totally allergen-free. But most vegans do tend to eat peanut butter, so we've added that one as a little surprise.
Very exciting. Can't wait. And let me just remind you again, please tweet in your questions to @ShareRadio, that's spelled S-H-A-R-E, Radio UK, or tweet me directly at Jules Serkin, that's J-U-L-E-S. S for sugar, E-R-K-I-N. We do want to hear from you. And this is a time you can get some free advice. We've got Deborah, Adrian and Alistair all waiting. So I think it's very exciting to have us all here. And I can't wait to get started really eating. So we're going to have a quick chat to Rita Lobo, who's my long-suffering producer. And she's going to tell us what's been going on Twitterland, Rita.
Well, Twitter's actually been very active since our last encounter, Jules, when we were talking about wine. Gluten-free baking, which I think is Deb, has been tweeting us, telling us she's looking forward to being in the show. Welcome, Deb. It's great to see you.
Thank you.
We've had Tilly tweet in to say that she's very excited to meet another British chocolate firm. I think she's talking about you, Adrian.
Excellent.
And Sylvia and Terry Chucks, they say, do people in general have more allergies these days, or are we just better at diagnosing? So lots of things to think about there from our lovely listeners.
Thank you, Rita. Well, that's really interesting. Lots of chocolate people coming in. But that last question, let's put it out to the three of you and let's see who answers. We'll start with Deborah, I think. So do people in general, Deborah, have more allergies these days, or are we just getting better? Because going back to school, I'm a bit of an old bird. So going back to the sort of 60s and 70s, I don't remember any of my friends having an allergy apart from asthma and eczema. I don't remember any food allergies, and I don't remember any obesity. I have to be honest, I don't think I had anyone in my class that was, I think maybe one or two kids were a little bit tubby, but certainly not obese like we're seeing. But my son, when he was at school recently, there were children, we couldn't eat kiwis in a packed lunch or on a school trip. Strawberries was a big one, and obviously the nuts and milk. So what would you think about this? Are we seeing more allergies?
I would definitely say that we are seeing more intolerances, and that's slightly different to allergies. And allergies are a very specific thing that happens really quickly. Like the peanut one, you get anaphylaxis and it's extremely dangerous. With intolerances, what you're talking about is a whole range of reactions, and there's definitely more of it about. It's not just better diagnosis. When it, say, comes to celiac disease, they've compared blood samples taken in the States in the 1950s to current ones, and there's literally four times as much celiac disease now than there was. And I think our modern lifestyles have a lot to answer for.
It's pretty frightening, and I think the not being able to breathe, you know, feeling your throat is tightening up must be totally scary. We've had a couple of tweets and then we're going to play a tune. So let's just read these tweets. We have Caroline and Liz. Now that's @Riverford_Kent. And they're asking, can anyone recommend a good egg-free mayonnaise for my vegan daughter? Now, Adrian, I believe that's you. Now, weren't you the pioneers of that mayonnaise?
Yes, we have a whole range of egg-free mayonnaises available in jars, squeezy bottles, different flavours from plain to garlic to chilli. So there's all the different varieties available in retail health food stores or online. So there's plenty of choice. Make sure you buy one that is not made with a protein isolate, made with natural ingredients. It's a great replacement. It's very fresh. Great for ideal salads, potatoes, anything you'd like to put mayonnaise with, great in sandwiches. So any use that they may have.
Brilliant.
It's there.
And we'll be talking to Adrian later about where you can buy his products. And now we're going to play a little tune. We're going to have a palate cleanser. It's the Beatles with Free as a Bird. And that was the Beatles, Free as a Bird. I feel strangely sort of psychedelic after listening to that song. And we're going to go over to my dear friend, Alistair Jessel. It is cupboard love, of course, because he has brought in everything delicious to eat. Alistair, could we be rude and start off with the peanut butter?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you've really titillated my taste buds.
Well, I sort of wanted to start in
a... What do you want to start off with?
I actually wanted to start with a range that will be introduced into a supermarket chain next May, which is
so
the totally
exciting.
Allergen-free. I can't obviously say which supermarket chain.
But it will be a scoop and
it,
you will...
It will be a scoop.
On Share Radio, we will be the first to announce it, listeners.
So I'm going to start you off. This is totally... allergen-free. So it does have sugar in it.
Okay.
This is vanilla. It's getting a bit soft. But
and as I feel it's the morning, I'll be bouncing about, won't I, on USA time.
It does.
Did I mention Manhattan?
Yeah. Right, so Adrian's having a little try at this first.
So you go first, Adrian. Tell us. And Alistair, tell us about it.
Right, so
While they're chomping.
I was exhibiting at the Free From show this year and was approached by this Free From team, and they were impressed with my Sweet Rebellion range, which obviously is sugar-free as well as soy-free. And the range does have egg in it, apart from the dairy-free. So there are five that we have in the range.
Mm-hmm.
But this one they wanted to have as a completely allergen-free. They just wanted all the allergens out. They just wanted nothing in it. So they said, well, we could go with almond milk And I said, well, almonds is nuts, so forget it. You're going to have to be with coconut.
Big thing. And coconut is extremely, again, hip at the moment. I'm having coconut oil on everything.
It is very hip. It's I think what I found curious about it, obviously it behaves very differently to dairy, especially when you try and turn it into an ice cream.
So what problems are you having with that?
Well, the main problem has been the fact that you can taste its coconut. You're trying to offer
something. Which is fine if you're making a coconut ice cream.
Yes, it's okay if people like coconut.
Yeah.
But of course, I was asked, could I disguise the taste of coconut? Well, how do you do that in vanilla when it's coconut oil, it's coconut milk, it's coconut cream, and then I can't put anything else in it because it's vanilla. So how do I disguise the taste? And they said, well, just add more vanilla. Well, of course, you add more vanilla, and actually the product turns rather nasty. So there's only a certain amount of vanilla you can put in before the whole thing goes completely wrong.
And this is why your products are so fantastic to taste. I'm still waiting, Adrian. I've got my spoon here. But in my experience of tasting your table ice cream, you are a perfectionist. And I know when we've had our chats about your... what am I eating here?
That's vanilla.
This is vanilla. When I've had my chats with you, I'm just spooning it up, listener, and it's soft and gorgeous straight from the tub. But you are a perfectionist. You go back and back and back to the recipe, don't you? Tell us.
I do. So
while I
eat. The vanilla has been actually the hardest. It's probably taken about 8 goes at it. In fact, I was asked to present these 3 flavours, so the strawberry, the chocolate and vanilla. And I'd done the whole lot and finished it and presented it in 3 weeks. And the company was shocked that I'd gone back so quickly. But my knowledge in developing the Sweet Rebellion range is such that now I can develop pretty much any range of ice cream, either with or without any ingredients. Whatever you want, I can do it now.
This is absolutely stunning. I'm handing it back to Adrian before I go astray.
I think I might run off with it.
I actually wanted to do the one with Adrian's product in it, because this, I think, is actually the best, and not just because Adrian's sitting next to me. So this is the chocolate one, which I think tastes so close to chocolate ice cream that you just can't go wrong with it.
I'm just going to interrupt you, Alistair, with a tweet that we've had, which you can probably answer. It's from Ken Lloyd, who is in Herne Village in Kent, and he's a graphic designer. You can find him on Ken_... I've lost the Twitter, but we'll find him again. But he's Ken Lloyd, and he's asking... Rita will tell us later. He's asking, what does allergen-free actually mean?
It means that there are 13 officially recognised allergens, of which you get things like crustaceans, soy, lactose.
There's 14, aren't there?
13, 14. Yeah, depending 14. Depending on how strict you want. Celery being one that I find particularly curious.
I know, I've never met anyone that's allergic to it. But if you go to this new allergen law that came through last year, they class the 14 main allergens.
Yes.
And as you say... celery
is one of them. So to be totally allergen free, you have to tick every single box. So although you all have just mentioned strawberry a little bit earlier, that isn't regarded as an allergen. So yes, you may be intolerant to strawberries, but it's not an allergen. So therefore, to be an allergen free product, you have to tick all 14 boxes. And sugar isn't an allergen. Sugar is a lifestyle. So removing sugar from your diet is not because it makes you thoroughly ill. It may make you fat, but it's not an allergen, so therefore it's not regarded as an allergy.
Do you know, coming in this morning on the train, listeners, I was astonished. There was a lovely family next to me, and they were all talking about this young boy. He was about 10. He was studying German, and they were really, really supportive. There was the nanny or the grandmother and mummy and dad, and they were making him speak French and, you know, house school and everything. And it was 10 a.m., and they were eating crisps, dairy milk, pop. I just thought that, you know, that was their breakfast most probably, or maybe a post-breakfast snack, but I was horrified. But you guys probably see it all the time as well.
I must admit,
Deborah,
I'm usually fairly shocked when I stand in Asda behind looking at some people's basket.
I love the fact you mentioned that supermarket as opposed to Waitrose.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But you do scan people's...
You do automatically scan people's
And then you look at their complexion.
Mm-hmm. And you maybe look at their waistline as well. But I find that There's a really good quote from an American writer called Michael Pollan, and it's, eat food, not too much, mostly plants.
Yeah.
And what he means by eat food is stuff that's real ingredients that you cook or make yourself,
yeah,
rather than stuff that's come very packaged, like ready meals. And
read the ingredients on a ready meal.
Yeah, I don't recognise half of them, and I'm fairly well informed.
Yeah.
And I think that if you stick to just really natural ingredients, you won't go wrong.
I agree. And I was just going to say, we have now Ken Lloyd from Hearn, his Twitter handle. If you want to follow him, it's Ken_W_LLOYD. And we've also had another question, which I think, Alistair, while we've got you here, you can answer this. This is from John Onebill on the Twitter, at John One O-N-E Bill. And he's asking, can Alistair tell us what he uses in place of sugar in his Tawell Online sugar-free ice cream? Being diabetic, replacement sweeteners have an unpleasant taste. And how has he solved this? There's quite a few questions here. He's diabetic type 2, says John Onebill. Many sugar-free products have this horrible aftertaste. Should I be using the sugar-free products that are on the market? What are the pros and cons? Diabetes is a big medical issue in young age groups. Sugar's in many foods. It's time to force producers to change. Gosh, well done, John Onebill. He must have been tweeting all morning for that to come out. Have you cottoned? Oh, I'm getting past the chocolate one. Looks chocolatey.
Well, that's quite a lot of questions. I have to say they are very, very correct questions to ask.
Yes.
And I don't think we have the hours that are actually needed to answer it. So I'll be as brief and literally very brief. So the products that we're using are mostly polyols. So we're talking erythritol, stevia. And I use, in order to make it a little bit more interesting, some Palmyra jaggery. And the Palmyra jaggery is the nectar from the Palmyra tree. It goes under the brand name of Sugar Vida, which many people will see in the health food stores.
Mm. Does it have an aftertaste?
It has.
Because stevia has a bit.
Stevia is the worst. And I don't want to diss stevia, but I have to say I don't like using it. I use it because I have to, not because I want to. And the reason I have to use it is that people are very au fait with stevia. They know the name. They know that it's a natural sweetener. But it has a terrible reputation of taste. And if you put too much in, it tastes just like licorice. It goes sweeter, sweeter, and then it collapses into a very nasty, nasty, bitter aftertaste. Mm. However, when you start talking more natural products like xylitol and erythritol, everyone thinks because they start with a funny letter and they sound like a chemical, there actually must be non-natural products. But actually they are. They're totally natural. And yes, they are polyols, but they're interesting products to use. The agave nectar and the Palmyra jaggery, because I'm using them, curiously, the law states that I'm not allowed to say no added sugar. And unfortunately, using...
Which is very unhelpful.
Which is terribly unhelpful. So they classify agave nectar and the Palmyra jaggery as disaccharides. And unfortunately, adding them to any of your products now means you can no longer say no added sugar. But I'm not sure that no added sugar are particularly good words to use anymore. I think people...
I'll put you through to Dr. John Onebill after that, and perhaps you can talk to him. I was just going to ask you a bit more about your export. But Rita, lovely Rita, over there in the studio next door, has a question.
I do have a question. So when you add Palmyra...
Jaggery,
exactly. Yeah. Palmyra jaggery and the other one that you mentioned, they might not be sort of the refined sugar that we're used to, but is it safe for diabetics like John Onebill to have?
The most important thing when analysing products is their glycemic index level. And both agave nectar and jaggery have low glycemic index. But when you add the whole lot together, and erythritol has a zero glycemic index, but it's only a bulking agent. It doesn't give any taste. It's like, it looks like sugar. It behaves like sugar. It's only 60% the sweetness of sugar. Mm. But it doesn't give that nice caramelly taste that sugar does.
Which we're used to.
Yes, and I think people are... If you're going to replace like for like, you're going to invent products that are a sugar replaced a replacement product, they've got to taste either exactly the same as the ingredients that they're replacing, or they've got to taste better. You can't put on the market something that tastes just not as good.
Because you want the satisfaction. If you're curling up in the evening watching a film, you want to have a tub of Taywell. You want it to taste just as good as a normal ice cream with sugar in. I've got one tweet that's coming through, and I want to talk to you about your exports, which is very exciting. We've had a tweet here from @SydRobson, S-Y-D Robson, and she's asking, she's finding it hard to source local organic produce, and yet supermarkets have a wide range. What makes it truly organic? There's a big one. Perhaps need Riverford to ring in, but who wants to answer that?
I think that for me... organic obviously is something that's grown without pesticides and herbicides. It's probably, for me though, I think local is more important at the moment, because the sooner you can eat something, say a vegetable, the better its nutritional content's going to be.
Because I do err on organic. I have a veg box every week.
Yeah,
because
I love Riverford. They're brilliant.
Yeah, because I juice, and I don't want to juice a carrot that's been sprayed probably 17, 18 times.
Carrots hold the residues actually really strongly.
There was a government actually warning some time ago, and I know Riverford told me, where they actually told people to peel their carrots because of the pesticides.
Yeah.
So very exciting. I'm going to pop back to Rita now and see if any more tweets or events have come back before we play a song.
Well, you've read all of my tweets, Jules.
Oh, have I?
You
really
have indeed.
What's wrong with the listeners?
You're
Where
cutting
are
into
all?
My airtime here. I'm going to make a complaint.
So any events coming up?
Yeah, we actually have a whole bunch of events. We have some free from events if you'd like to get involved. It's a great way to, you know, meet people that have, you know, maybe similar conditions to you or just choose to have similar lifestyles. So we've had a tweet from... actually, I don't know from who, but they say that their next pop-up shop...
Mr. Nobody
says that their next pop-up shop is at Cranbrook, and it will be full of Christmas carols, and I should find out who that is.
Well, scroll down.
Yeah,
I mean, you'll be able to find him.
It's actually in my notes, so it's all my fault.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll find it, Rita.
Yep. There's also... Cranbrook Farmers Markets are going to be open on the 28th of November from 9:30 on. They tweeted to you to have a great free from show today. And so please, if you're listening, go visit the Cranbrook Farmers Market.
It's a great farmers market. And like Deborah said, you get all your produce there, Rita.
Yep. And we've also had a brilliant tweet from Chris Connect. This is a gentleman called Chris Pollard, who is enjoying listening to the show from the mountains in southwest Turkey. So thanks for tuning in. And it's a good reminder that you can get share radio all over the world if you have the internet, but on the DAB in London and soon to be all over the country.
And he's sitting on a mountain. And of course, thank you, Rita. But his produce there, I know, because he tweets me quite a lot. It's Chris Connect It, IT at the end. And he's a telecommunications expert. So he is often on the mountain with his wife, Miriam, an author, and she had ME. And she actually made her condition better through food. So worth getting her book, Tales from Turkey. She'll tell you all about it. Alistair, back to you. I'm just remembering that I remember you told me that you export to Saudi and Hong Kong.
Yeah, we're the only Western brand at the moment in Hong Kong. But I have to say, since China has clamped down on the democracy students earlier this year, things have got tougher and tougher out there. So I don't quite know how long that market will last, but the Saudi market looks a lot more interesting.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've got the weather, we've got the affluence.
And the obesity rate.
Yeah, huge.
So 77% obesity rate with men, and I think it's 73% with women.
Yeah, but looking at the dress that they wear, they can expand under the galabeah. You know, I've worn a galabeah when I lived in Cairo many moons ago, and you can expand, you know, and nobody knows what you look like with it wafting around. But also, because they're such a wealthy country, they don't have to work. A lot of them just don't work. They've got the, you know, they bring in the workers from India and other places, and they have quite a leisureful life. A lot of McDonald's
out
there.
They do, but it's killing them. So
yeah.
The type 2 diabetes rate in Saudi, I believe, is the highest in the world now. And I have a feeling it's past 50%.
Can you just give me a shout for your website?
We have two websites. We have the sugar-free range is on sweetrebellion.co.uk, mm-hmm. and our normal ice creams are on taywell.co.uk.
And people can buy online?
They can buy online, yes.
Brilliant. I love that. Okay, so we are going to play some tunes, I guess, and I've lost my little script here, but we're going to go over and play some Joss Stone with Free Me. I don't know this song, but I'm sure it's marvellous. And then we'll be back with you on Share Radio. Keep your tweets coming in at Jules Serkin, at Share Radio UK. We want to hear all your questions. Here's Joss Stone. And that was Joss Stone with Free. And keeping in the free from, we're talking about foods that are free from sugar, dairy, gluten. And we have a bit of a pioneer in the studio. We have Adrian Ling, who is MD of Plummel, P-L-A-M for mother, I-L, based in Folkestone. I love that. You know, real British company down there by the sea. Were you born in Folkestone, Adrian?
No, I was born in London.
Okay. And when did you move to Folkestone?
1972.
And you remember it well?
I remember the move very well, and it's great to get to sunny Folkestone, yes.
So tell us, first of all, you are the oldest vegan company in the UK, Plummel, and it's regularly judged to be the highest ranked ethical company in the country. That's pretty amazing. Possibly the world.
Well, I don't know about the world, but we do try very hard to produce foods that are very ethically made and sold.
Now, your dad, I meant to Google him. What was your dad's name?
My dad's name was Arthur.
Arthur Ling?
Arthur Ling.
Okay.
And he was a pioneer of veganism. He became a vegan before vegan was a term used. He was a little boy on the beach, saw a fish being killed. And then he decided that at that time, he was only 7 or 8, that he was going to stop eating any animal or dairy products. So that he was one of the very, very first vegans.
What was it like? Have you got brothers and sisters?
I do, yes.
So what was it like growing up at school with a dad who was he a hippie?
No, he wasn't a hippie.
Is he a sandal wearing sort of?
He was a sandal wearer. He was eccentric in his own way. He pushed the boundaries in a lot of ways that he conducted himself and he lived. And that came through in actually the foods that he wanted to produce and being very pioneering in having a lot of food where he said he didn't want to have many constituents that were very, very common at the time. One of them being chocolate. And when he was first asked, was a chocolate without milk possible? He was told no, it was not possible. And so he went off and then developed his own chocolate that was dairy-free.
That's pretty incredible for that. You know, we're talking about how many years ago?
We are talking a lot of years ago. The actual roots of the company start in the 60s.
In the 60s. So when your mates came round for tea, How was that for you when they were coming around and they were offered vegan food? Because in the 60s and 70s and 80s, it was fairly unusual still.
It was
unusual.
Did
you feel like the odd one out?
No, sometimes you would feel like the odd one out. But I think it's a case of choice. And I remember always at school being asked, well, what would you do if you were on a polar ice cap and there was nothing else to eat? And it was those sort of questions that you were asked. And I think when you become a teenager and you go through to your later teens, you really do decide how you want to continue to live and how you want to continue to eat. And I decided that I would continue to be vegan.
So let's have a look at your wares that you've got there, being very cagey. Can we get that packet open?
Well, I'm afraid we have a lot of different types of chocolates. We have a whole range of no added sugar chocolates.
Right.
And obviously, we've been talking about no added sugar. It is a dairy-free chocolate. It's gluten-free chocolate. So it ticks all those free-from boxes that are most important to consumers. And we have a whole range of new products that we've developed, such as chocolate with coconut blossom sugar. Coconut blossom sugar is mostly a sugar, but it is extremely sought after at the present time. People are looking for all sugar alternatives. Mm. And we have a whole range of products which are chocolate covered with orange cranberries and no added sugar chocolates, milk chocolates in various forms. And I've even bought you a advent calendar.
Oh, and poor Rita's next door and she can't reach them. Rita, you've got another tweet coming in. Do you want to tell me? From Lemonade-y someone.
Lemon Taste, at Lemon Taste, tweeted us that she's really enjoying our new food show on Share Radio and she's asking you, Jules, for any tips for travelling in France and Italy, buying free from foods. Maybe Adrian can answer that.
Well, I also know that Deborah is the queen of Italy. Adrian, do you want to answer first?
I was going to say I was in Italy last year and I've been in France last year as well. And I have to say that the position is getting a lot easier than it used to be. You used to travel to particularly France and it was difficult. The understanding of what vegan was, I was even asked whether garlic was vegan or not, which was a crazy sort of thing. But it is getting a lot easier. There are a lot of products out there.
The French must buck the trend with all the meat that they have.
Brilliant.
Yeah, well, we'll talk with Deborah in a minute about Italy, because I know that you had a ball there with the gluten-free and we had a long discussion.
Yeah, it's an amazing place for gluten-free.
We'll come back to that. And Adrian, just was going to say, I've completely lost my track now, but how do you keep in your business the allergen free? Because it's got to be absolutely sealed, your factory. Is the factory in Folkestone? Or
the factory is in Folkestone, and you're right. We keep
contamination.
It,
that was the word I wanted.
We keep it free from.
And you can hear the eating, listeners.
You can hear the eating.
It is. We are scoffing now. We're eating chocolate, beautiful chocolate. Please pass me one of those bears.
One of the
tell us about the contamination.
Yeah, one of the important issues of being free from is controlling those allergens, and the way we do it is by having a factory that is a completely isolated and a free from factory. So we don't have those allergens. We're very strict about not only the ingredients, how they're handled, and the staff even. We go to the extreme lengths, even for the nut contamination, of not allowing any nuts. It is actually a disciplinary procedure if anybody brought any nut product within their lunchbox.
There have been some in the news recently, some contamination with some gluten-free products, which I'm sure Deborah will tell us about as well. But you, so let's go back. You made the first vegan milk chocolate in 1983.
Yes, we did.
As far as I know. And the soya milk you made, you made the first soya milk in Western Europe.
That's correct. The company first started, and that was to make soy milk. And the roots of that go right back to the start of the vegan society. And the company's very proud that we still make soy milk that we can distribute today. It's a groundbreaking product. It always was a groundbreaking product. Now there are other alternatives. The other alternatives to dairy milk and soy milk are very good, but they tend to be social replacements, and people shouldn't forget that they're having what they consume needs to have a nutritional value, and soya does have a very good nutritional profile.
Well, just one last question before we go on to Deborah. I was just going to ask you, what do you think is the biggest challenge for your business at the moment? I know you and Alistair go to lots and lots of big exhibitions, things like that. You employ 4 people?
Plan will employ 40 people.
40, sorry, there was a zero not on here. Let's talk about Julian now, and he missed his zero. But tell me about the biggest challenge you think running a business today.
I think that one of the biggest challenges is convincing some of the larger retailer chains that they are really behind the times in some of the ranges that they're offering. There is definitely customer demand. We know that when we all go to shows, there's a huge demand, and there does appear to be a lagging between what we recognise as consumer demand and what is on the shelf.
Absolutely brilliant. So, Deborah, you've been eating the chocolate. I just had the berry ones, which were absolutely beautiful. What are they called? The bear ones?
They are bears of dairy-free chocolate.
Brilliant. Alistair, how are you finding them?
They are absolutely delicious.
Debs?
Gorgeous, gorgeous.
So we're going on to our resident nutritionist now. Listeners, if you're listening, tweet in at Share Radio UK, at Jules Serkin is my own personal one. Either we'll pick them up. If you have a question for Deborah about nutrition, perhaps you feel that you're doing everything you can with your diet, but it's just not working. I was talking to Alistair earlier. I took, before I went to USA, cut my carbs. It made a huge difference. You know, I lost sort of 6 pounds in 4 days, all water retention, Deborah. But what are you thinking about diets today? And also tell us about your flour, your new flour.
Where to start? I think, as I was saying earlier, that, you know, you just got to clean your diet up as much as you can.
And can you pass those chocolates while Deborah's
talking? If it comes
in
a packet, don't eat it, basically. Oh, with the exception, of course, of the gorgeous chocolate to my right.
This one is absolutely lovely. And sorry to interrupt.
That's all right.
I've gone off. This is the no added sugar I'm eating, the Plamil. And you know what I love, Adrian? Sorry, I will come back to you. Did you hear that snap? It's just lovely. Carry on. I've got my mouth full now.
The flour is a very new thing for us. I mean, I've been teaching gluten-free baking for about 3 years now. It's a support.
It's also very smooth, this chocolate. Sorry, don't you carry on.
It started as a support to people who are celiac or intolerant to gluten in some way.
And your husband Ian is?
Yeah, he's a celiac. And I spotted that actually before he got a formal diagnosis.
How did you spot that?
Well, because he was complaining all the time about feeling like he was hungover, even if he hadn't had a drink. His energy levels were absolutely crashed. All his joints ached.
Flu-like symptoms,
yeah. Absolutely. Loads of brain fog. And it put him on a gluten-free diet, and he was literally better in 4 days. It was amazing.
And that brain fog is a big thing. So the gluten is somehow affecting your brain.
Yeah, it goes through your gut wall. A protein that's upregulated called zonulin, which allows it into your bloodstream. And if it can get through your gut wall, it can get through your blood-brain barrier. And that's why a lot of the symptoms of being glutened involve brain fog and feeling really sort of out of it.
These boys are giggling now, listeners. Our guests are getting high on chocolate. And why are you giggling, boys? What have we done wrong?
We're tasting this ice cream. To me, having ice cream is just an absolute treat instead of chocolate. So but of course, it is dairy free.
I've got a little savoury taste for everybody.
Tell us about this.
Yeah,
bread.
I mean, when we started,
Alistair, have a chomp on the bread,
baking gluten
and tell us your.
We were really, really disappointed with the quality of the gluten free flours out there, and so I started blending my own for the courses.
Yeah. Because you do, let's just tell the listeners, you do baking courses in Harrogate, the Wirral and London.
And London, yep.
Whereabouts in London?
At the moment, they're mostly in Dalston, which is London N1. And it's a fantastic kitchen we teach in there. It's just lovely.
How many in the class?
Usually 8. So it's very hands-on. You get to make everything yourself.
See, the boys are quiet now. Because they're easy. Adrian, over to you. How is the bread?
Dip them into the salt. And I've got salt and za'atar here and olive oil to dip the bread.
I know that my producer said to me that I must not eat in the studio, and she's going to make me hoover. Rita,
Sorry about
hoovering is the least of your worries, Jules. I have a question for Deb. I was once diagnosed with celiac disease, and it turned out I was just eating too much junk food, and I went straight back to gluten when it turned out it was a false diagnosis.
Yes.
But I was wondering if it would be of any benefit to me, even if I don't have any technically a medical condition, to cut out gluten, or if it's just really a bit of a fad and it's okay to eat it in moderation.
Do not think that it's a
definitely not a fad, is
it? It's a real issue. Apart from the fact that something like, 40% of us actually carry the genes for celiac disease without it necessarily being activated. What it also does, it's this business of it making your gut permeable. There's lots of really good research now to show that it makes your gut permeable even if you're not celiac. So that if you eat a meal that's got gluten in it, you'll find that there's more bacteria in your bloodstream 2 hours later than if it didn't have gluten. Mm. And that, that's true for everyone, whether you're celiac or not. I've read tons of research, and although I'm not celiac myself, I really wouldn't touch it. Rarely, when I do, I feel absolutely shocking.
Well, interesting, because Rita, I hope that answers your question. And I did say to you, you were looking better, actually. So cut the junk food.
Yeah.
But when I was in America, I did go off piste, and you know I'm gluten-free. And after about 4 days, I had to take off my rings. That ring wouldn't even go on. My fingers puffed up, my face puffed up. But worse than that, like we've been saying, energy levels. I know the boys can't chip in because their mouths are full. How is the bread, boys? Alistair?
Absolutely excellent. And as a celiac, I've really enjoyed it. So, yes, I'm...
Well, what you were saying earlier about you can't sell product that doesn't taste as close as possible to the real thing. This is as close as I can get to a French baguette. It's got some sourdough in it that I make with sorghum flour. But going back to talking about our blend of flour, we really...
Why is it so special?
Well, because it's got really good quality products in it. It's got whole grain corn from really good sources as opposed to corn flour, which has all the nutrients removed and is just starch. It's got sorghum in, which is made from a plant that looks a bit like rhubarb. So it's got very different things into most of the gluten-free blends that are on the market. As a consequence, it behaves much more like a normal flour.
Could you make pastry with this one? Or is it just
absolutely.
The bread?
You can make bread, pastry, cakes. You
with
can
the
thicken
one
a
flour?
Sauce with the one flour.
Wow.
But what we're trying to do at the moment is we've just launched an Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign because we've got two more blends up our sleeves, which we really want to get to market.
And one I thought it was just your bicep.
We've got a brown bread flour that's as close to a wholemeal taste as you can get with teff flour in. And then we've had such a fantastic time when we went to the gluten-free show in Rimini last year. Mm. And we met this mill that they make stone ground gluten-free flours. And we really want to bring that to market in the UK. The taste of it and the quality of it. They use an ancient cultivar of the corn, so it's much, much nicer and more nutritious than modern corn. So at the moment, we're trying to raise some funds to get these onto market.
Going back again to ancient grains, so we've probably played about too much with our new grains.
Absolutely. I think that modern wheat even is a million miles away from what it used
Alistair's
to be.
Alistair's nodding there. He's got his mouth full again, but, you know, there's no stopping him. So you get a celiac and he gets great food. How is it, Alistair?
You have to remember, I do come from a farming family, and my father has told me since he started farming back in the early 50s, the wheat was genetically modified to include more gluten in it. And my sister in 1964... was one of the first ever diagnosed cases of celiac disease in this country.
Yeah. And does it run in families?
It does, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
And is there a female-male thing, like with
the thyroid?
No,
actually, there isn't. But there is definitely a family link. So, you know, of the girls, Ian's daughters, there's definitely, they're all affected by it too. Some of them more than others. But we can see this going through the family, like, you know, the writing in Brighton Rock.
I just want to finish off because we're running out of time. We know we need 3 hours for this. But if people want to buy your bread, where do they go, Deborah?
Well, they can't buy the bread. They can just buy the flour. But the recipes for the bread are on our website. And our website is www.glutenfreebaking.co.uk.
Glutenfreebaking.co.uk.
From there, you can buy the flour. You can also buy the flour on a new website called Galleria. And you can find links on our website to the crowdfunding campaign, because we so want to let more people get at this wonderful product, really.
Something that tastes good, as Alistair and Adrian, and we've had a ball on this. I was going to ask you one more thing. I can't remember what it was, but yes, I do remember your advice, just very briefly, because we're going over to Rita for a roundup of events. What would your advice be if people are listening to this and they think, I've got those flu symptoms, I'm exhausted all the time? Do they come and see you, or a nutritionist that's near them?
The first port of call, if you suspect that it might be a gluten sensitivity, is you've got to rule out celiac disease first.
So GP first.
And any good registered nutritionist will help you with the diet after that. But there's about 6 to 10 times as many people who have non-celiac gluten sensitivity as do celiac disease. So ruling out celiac disease doesn't mean you haven't got a problem with gluten, if you see what I mean.
And the leaky gut
is definitely something that a nutritionist can help you with.
There are other things, like arthritis can often be cured by removing gluten.
And
skin infections.
It's also one of the leading causes, actually, of infertility. There's a sensitivity to gluten.
We will do another show very quickly as soon as we can round you lot up. Rita, let's just go to the events before while we eat bread. Gluten-free, of course.
We've actually had quite a lot of tweets and messages about events. Like we said before, meeting people with, you know, similar lifestyles and similar conditions to you can be really helpful. So if you're a vegetarian or have any special needs, you can go to Sin Sans Own and Without, which is on Wednesday the 18th to Saturday the 21st of November. It's a special vegetarian-themed series of dinners at a secret location in the Yalding area.
I love a secret location.
Yeah, it's...
That's Mr. Harry Covert.
I suppose that the ingredients are secret as well, because it's all free from.
Yeah, it's delicious.
So it's a special selection of supper clubs that are joining forces for this special event in London. There's a new veggie supper club here called by Chef Peter Pickering and Covert Chef Harry Covert Mr. Greenbean. And it'll be a special night. And do join the website. Go check the website to see where it's on. It's harrycovertundergroundrestaurant.wordpress.com.
We love him, don't we, Alistair?
There's a couple of celiac events that are great opportunities to meet people on the gluten-free diet. There is a celiac and Javella gluten-free market and Christmas fair at St. Barnaba Church Hall in London on the 5th of December. So go online and find that one if you're celiac or thinking of cutting out gluten. Then there's the Free From Festival held in East London that will be in the spring next year. And that's an opportunity to sample healthy Free From products made in the UK. And a lot of them are produced by local businesses of Hackney and Islington and Tower Hamlets. So if you're based in East London, this one is a must. And then there's the Allergy and Free From show next summer in Olympia. That's a huge one. Everyone in the studio nodding.
Going,
I think
yes.
They're all going to that one. And that's a weekend event full of products, including food, drinks, skin, healthcare, all sorts of stuff, including household items and more. These are all the Free From events. We're running out of time, so I won't tell you about the non-Free From
events. You're
getting
faster and faster and higher and higher.
Absolutely. You get nervous, you get more high-pitched. Jules, back to you.
Thank you, Rita. So that's all your events. It's been a great show. We've done a lot of eating, actually, as usual. But I'd really like to thank my guests. We have Adrian Ling from Plumhill, Alistair Jessel from Taywell Ice Cream, and Deborah Thackeray, who hasn't had the chance to tell us all about her Italian pioneering adventures, but we will get her on again. Remember, you can tweet us at Share Radio UK, at Jules Serkin. If you've got ideas of what you'd like to hear on this food show every Saturday at 2 p.m, do tweet in your ideas and suggestions. And you've been listening to me, Jules Serkin, and the lovely Rita Lobo, and we'll speak to you all very soon. But for now, from the studio, from Alistair and Adrian and Deborah and myself, of course, still with jet lag, it's goodbye, and tune in next Saturday at 2 p.m. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. And thank you.
Share Food with Jules Serkin. Eating and drinking our way around the food business.